It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right, good afternoon from beautiful Birmingham, Alabama. We aren't in Atlanta today where we do a lot of our broadcasting from, but we are here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. My name is Scott Luton. I'm going to go ahead and say hello to my two very special co-hosts that's with me here today, Barika McNeil Hamilton, Productivity Engineer with the Alabama Productivity Center. Good afternoon, Barika.
Good afternoon, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, thanks for hosting us here today at the Hohen Engineering Building and of course, on the campus of the University of Alabama at Birmingham. We had a great morning show focused on a variety of themes, education and innovation and productivity, a lot of what things that your team is driving, driving manufacturing success amongst other success. So great to have you back on show number two today.
Thanks again.
You bet. And Greg White, supply chain technology entrepreneur, previous guest on several occasions. And we also served together on the Georgia Logistics Summit Executive Committee. I think you've served on that a couple different times, but glad to have you on today's episode as well.
Yeah, great. Thanks to be here.
You bet, Greg. All right. So, again, we're broadcasting live from the University of Alabama at Birmingham at the Hohen Engineering Building, where they're churning out lots of engineers doing big things across the world of supply chain. We've got an outstanding panel of guests today. Great conversation, all teed up, ready to go. So, friendly reminder, you can find our Supply Chain Now Radio replays on a variety of channels, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and, of course, our premier distribution partners at Business Radio X. As always, love to have you subscribe so you don't miss a single thing. So let's welcome today's featured guests. We have Jordan Sherwood, Supply Chain Manager at Lore North America. Good afternoon, Jordan.
Good afternoon, Scott. Thank you very much for having me today.
You bet.
I'm very excited about this opportunity.
Glad you're here and looking forward to hearing a lot of growth y'all have got going on at Lore North America. Good afternoon, Mark Brown, Vice President of Business Retention and Expansion at the Birmingham Business Alliance.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, with all the growth that y'all have got going and expansion, we're lucky to get carve you up for an hour here, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of exciting times in Birmingham now.
So it really is. Good to be back. All right, and then also have say hello to Doug Duvall, Regional Sales Manager at Hydra Power Systems.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Great to have you. Looking forward to picking your brain here momentarily. So we're going to dive right in. We've had this is our second show again right here at UAB, and it's been really chock full of passion and content and best practices. So we're gonna jump right in again with Jordan Sherwood, Supply Chain Manager at Lore North America. So Jordan, you were kind of sharing. We had dinner after an Apex event not too long ago, and you were sharing some of your background with us. And before we dive into your organization, all the growth, and some of the exciting things there, tell us more about you and your professional journey.
Sure. So I am from France, as you can notice. I have a master's in mechanical engineering. I've always wanted to go in the US, and I've had the opportunity with Law 3 years ago to do that move. So I went in Atlanta in order to take care of the restructuring of a supply chain department for Lore North America, a manufacturer of a car carrier. Mm.
And a growing manufacturer.
Growing manufacturing. So yeah. What is Lore? In a couple of words, Lore was created in 1963. It is headquartered in Alsace, mm-hmm. in France, so just near Germany. There is more than 3,000 employees worldwide. That's a private French group. We have four main fields of activity. Mm. We are building a car holder, military vehicle, a railway system, and new mobilities, small shuttle to replace buses. There is the main value of this group are the innovation and the customer service and distribution.
So if I can ask you just a quick follow-up. So as you're walking through the different aspects of the business, is all that about the enterprise that Lore's involved in, or are there components of those different areas within Lore North America? So is Lore North America all focused on automotive carrier?
So Lore North America, so we have 32 subsidiaries worldwide, and on the American side, we have one in Mexico City and one in Yunnan in Georgia. Gotcha. And the primary activity that we have here is only car hauler.
Gotcha. Great.
In the future, we will maybe expand to a new business opportunity, but right now we just do car hauler.
Lots of opportunity in that space alone, right?
Yeah. The U.S. market is very big, very challenging, and I think we can do a very good job. We have been leader in Europe for more than 50 years, so. We want to take the challenge. We want to show what we can do, and we want to improve the product and the market.
Love it. And so on that note, one of the reasons you're here is you're expanding here in the greater Birmingham area. Obviously, you've got a small plant in Newnan, Georgia, and you've identified this area as the site of your next big facility, so you can take on the market and grow your market share here in the States, right?
Sure. So the market today is about 2,500 car haulers per year. There is a couple of manufacturers, but mainly there is one who got 90% of the market. So our goal is to come and challenge that, because as you know, when one big company is on the market, the innovation is not driving as it should be. So that's what we want to do. We are today in Yunnan. In Yunnan, Georgia. There is not a lot of opportunity for us to expand. So we decided to move to Alabama. So at the time that we wanted to make the decision to move, Alabama has been very responsive to our request. Actually, the state of Alabama, the county, and the city of Birmingham. So we decided to move to Alabama for a couple of different reasons. First, we wanted to be able to expand. Alabama is a state that welcome a lot manufacturing activity. There is a lot of automotive OEM, Mercedes, Honda, Mazda, there is a lot. We didn't receive the same support from Atlanta, from Georgia. So we really decide to go to Birmingham for that reason. Plus, we are in Lincoln, Alabama. Lincoln, Alabama. We are just in front. We are just in front of Honda. It's very important for us to have a car OEM next to us in order to do some trial on the product and always make sure that we deliver the best service and product to our customer. And finally, if you go on I-20, you can see our building from the interstate. So this is free marketing.
Love it. I love it. You got to pull every lever these days, right? Every advantage. I love that.
Exactly.
So a lot of exciting news, a lot of expansion here in Birmingham, which is leading opening. I think how many jobs is this expansion going to create over the next couple of years?
So the situation today in Yunnan, we have 20,000 square foot of manufacturing facility. We have 60 people, and we are producing about 100 car carrier per year. We are moving in Lincoln, and we have a 200,000 square foot facility. We are looking for 140 people within the two next years. And in terms of production, we are looking for 500 car haulers per year within the three next years.
So in a time when we all need some good news, that is a lot of good news, and a lot of good news for folks here in Alabama. Opportunities abound. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit here, and let's talk about broader industry. Let's talk about you know, what are some supply chain trends and or challenges that you may be keeping your finger on the pulse of more than others right now?
Sure. So there is many trends that I really want to dig into for our company in order to be very competitive and being able to propose the best service and product to our customer. The first one would be the cost reduction. Today the business war comes through the cost of the product first. So we have suppliers all over the world, in Mexico, Germany, France, India, China, and all over the US, of course. We want to find the parts we need where the added value for us is the highest. Mm. For example, if I talk about consumables or supplies, there is not added value on this kind of product. So I can get that from China. Because here in the US, I would just have distributors who will take a margin of product that comes from China. Mm. Then if I'm looking for mechatronic or electromechanic assembly, I will be more looking for product from Germany or the US. Mm. I hear like valves, so with Doug today, or axle are provided by Hendrickson. Big assembly that provide a lot of added value to the product, who are very strategic for us, we really want to have the best quality, and we won't look into the cost for that. Then the second one would be the risk management. Mm. The second trend is the risk management.
There's a lot more interest and a newfound interest. I mean, risk management's always been there, but it seems like in the last few years, there's a smaller appetite for risk, where companies are looking for different ways of mitigating risk, especially in this era of global commerce, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so for all of our supply solution abroad, I want to make sure that we have a US certified supplier. Meaning that if tomorrow there is a problem because of the tariff from Mr. Trump, or if there is a problem with a border to Mexico, I want to be sure that I can still provide my customer. Maybe I will have an impact on the cost. Maybe I will have certainly have an impact somewhere, but I don't want to take the risk to tell my customer, no, we cannot supply any product because we don't have any valves anymore, or because we don't have any aluminum tracking anymore. So that would be the second trend that I want to really work on.
So diversifying your supplier base, is that some of the things you're looking at doing?
So I'm really looking into partnership. I think we can do business and being friends. For me, that's something very important. However, like I said, some item that doesn't bring any value to the product, I don't want to pay them 10 times what I should pay for it. So I will source some solution abroad. And then if a problem happens, it needs to be a US certified supplier that has partnership with this company in order to make sure we can bring back, we can still supply our needs. The last one, so the third trend that I would talk to, is that I am very into innovation and future technology. I would like to move towards the digitalization of the supply chain, with smart pallet tracking and 4.0 industry technology to ensure or inside facility logistics. I believe a human brain is wasted if the only thing he's doing is kitting on or cycle counting parts. I want to train, increase, and challenge the potential of my employee to move them to control, analytics, and improvement.
So, along including professional development, because I know obviously we're
of course
fellow ASCM members in the room here, and
of course Sorry. The most important is to raise the professional level of our laborers. Mm. So of course they will be better pay and everything, but the daily task where a machine can do, they don't have to be used for this. They have to be used to control the system where everything that is troubleshooting, a machine won't troubleshoot by itself. Mm. It always needs someone. So that's what I would like to tend to. And then tend to all of the smart system that can make our supply chain really reliable and make sure we never have the worst problem we can have, which is a break in supply. Break in supply is terrible for a manufacturer because then it affects the production, and then you have to deliver bad news to the customer, and nobody wants to have bad news.
Nobody wins. Nobody wins with that. Let's talk more about, you know, why it's so great to do business here in the greater Birmingham area. You addressed some of the reasons behind Lower North America's expansion and site selection process, but what else would you add to that? Why else is it so advantageous for companies to do business here in Alabama and the greater Birmingham area?
So we can think about different levels. I would say for executives, that's a very nice area to live. I heard a lot of people complaining about the bad weather and the very chilly weather of New York or Chicago. And here, this is something that doesn't happen. So I think executives are ready to move into the south of the United States to take part of big, challenging project. Mm. Then on a labor side, I would say that there is a lot of potential here in Alabama. There is a very easy, I'm from France, and I would say that the law are very for the work. I don't know if I have the good say of saying it, but it's as easy for the employer and the employee to make a decision. Mainly in law, we are a company who really rewards great work and hard work. And we really want to have you, when you come on board, feel comfortable and feel good, and make sure that you have an opportunity, a career opportunity. Mm. And so far, we already started to hire a lot of people. So by the way, I just want to say that we hire people. So if you can hear me, don't hesitate to contact us. We have a LinkedIn page. We have a Facebook page. Lower North America, we have a website, www.lohr.us. Our CEO, Philip Fortman, is really into new technologies and social media, so it helps a lot for the communication. So don't hesitate to try to get in touch with us. It's very important. We need great people. We need great skills. We have a huge challenge to take on this market, and you are welcome to apply at any time.
Fantastic. And so for our listeners, again, that's lohr.us, LOHR.US, their website. They're hiring. There's jobs posted, and sounds like a great organization to work in and work for, with a tremendous upside, lots of growth opportunities y'all take on and win in the marketplace, right?
Yep. Yeah, sure.
So, you know, we didn't talk about, I'm going to ask you a surprise question here, but I'm really curious. So Apex Atlanta and is one of our sponsors here at Supply Chain Now Radio, and, you know, Apex is part of the ASCM community, which is the Association for Supply Chain Management. It's been around almost 6 years, kind of gone through a little bit of rebrand, 45,000 members globally. And, you know, as a volunteer board member and, you know, someone that's always looking to making sure we're hitting the needs of the generations that are coming into supply chain leadership roles, what are some of the things? I mean, obviously we met at an Apex event. What are some of the things that you look for in a modern day professional association? How do you measure whether it's worth your time to get invested in these associations? Mm.
For me, going through this association is something really important. It allows to do some networking. Today, you can be in business or politics. You won't make yourself if you don't have good contact, if you don't help each other, sorry. So I just want to meet new people. Plus, I'm new in the area. So I want to make sure that I can help some supply chain manager and that they can help me in order to be more successful, more efficient, and provide to the company the best service that we can. So when I go to Epix, so I am starting to pass my CSCP certification. That's for me, that's a plus. That's something that allows me to meet new people and that we make the difference in terms of supply chain, and also help me to improve all of my supply chain network.
Yep. And for our listeners, Jordan mentioned the CSCP. That is one of the APIC certifications as part of the ASCM body of knowledge, and it's a certified supply chain professional. It's a great enterprise level overview and credential of the end-to-end supply chain, and then back again with reverse logistics. So Jordan is pursuing that path and pursuing that credential, which you know, more and more of these credentials, whether it's APICS or otherwise, you know, other groups like CSCMP and ISM offer other certifications. We're seeing that more and more on job descriptions for folks looking to hire supply chain talent. So really neat. But going back to the question, Jordan, I appreciate you sharing your perspective. I heard, you know, networking, relationship building, some market intelligence gathering, and of course the professional development opportunities. Is that, if you had to put it in a nutshell, those four things are what you're after with the time you put in associations?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good stuff. All right. Well, thanks for your time. Don't go anywhere. We'll probably have you weigh in on a couple of things as we progress with this show. We've been speaking with Jordan Schrode, you bet, supply chain manager at Lore North America. They're hiring. They're expanding. They're aggressively going after a market here, a 50-year-old France organization that's expanding here in the southeastern U.S., and you can learn more at lohr.us, and that's LOHR.US. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, so our second featured guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio is Mark Brown, Vice President for Business Retention and Expansion at the Birmingham Business Alliance. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well.
Glad you're here. Really have enjoyed it. You know, we've been in Birmingham through a couple different organizations, a couple different events through the years, and the BBA does an incredible job supporting business and helping folks make connections and grow what the projects we're involved with here. So glad that you're here on the show with us today.
Yes, sir. We appreciate the opportunity of being here.
So before we dive more into what the BBA does, talk to us, you know, paint a picture about who you are and how you've gotten to this point in your career.
Yeah, sure. I early on in my career, I started out in the transportation, logistics, and supply chain business. Spent 15 years being a practitioner. I had an opportunity to transition out about 10 years ago to get into economic development. And as I did that, it kind of, the skill sets matched up with existing industry, so business retention expansion. I've spent 15 years, like I said, all over the Southeast in various roles in operations, management, and sales and business development within the logistics and supply chain and transportation industry. And it kind of parlayed right into existing business, existing industry. So when you walk into a company, you're able to understand and speak the language of what they're struggling with, what their opportunities are, and really how to match up what's in our toolbox. But that's kind of how, me in a nutshell, I've over 28 years experience in business and business development, supply chain, logistics, and transportation.
It sounds like you're taking a lot of that experience into helping other companies, you know, gain,
yes,
not just from your perspective and your experience, but everything that the market and that BB and the Birmingham Business Alliance has to offer.
Yes, and this is my third time through Birmingham. So the first two times was in logistics, and then the third time is in economic development. So being able to reestablish relationships and reconnect with folks, and then understanding the lay of the land is.
And really, that's even in this technology era, and we're talking about this on the first show, Barika. Even in this technology era, the relationships between the people, you know, and the ability to connect and establish suppliers and grow these partnerships, that is arguably more relevant and important than ever before. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I would agree, definitely. It's the relationships that you build, and it's building that circle of trust and who you can count on, you know, who's going to follow up with you. And it is that just on a personal level, but also in business to business. Businesses want to do business with folks they know that can deliver the quality product and service, as well as have good relationships with their suppliers and with their customers.
So on that note, let's talk more about the BBA, the Birmingham Business Alliance. You know, what is it and what does the organization do?
Yeah, great. Well, we're the Greater Regional Chamber of Commerce for a 7-county region. We don't really function necessarily like a chamber. We're much more economic development driven. And so really what that boils down to is going to be in several different areas that we focus in our MSA. So our 7 counties that we are responsible for in the MSA consist of Blount, Bibb, Chilton, Jefferson, St. Clair, Shelby, and Walker counties. And we really focus on economic growth, so supporting companies that are here with opportunities to continue to grow, and then also recruiting new companies in. So you've got the recruitment side of things, business retention expansion, which would cover what I do in industry, but also minority and small business, also in entrepreneurship, innovation, technology, commercialization of technology here. We also focus on image enhancement. So really doing a great thing of marketing the Birmingham region nationally and internationally, and being the advocate for our region and the businesses that are here. Public policy is another huge strong arm for us, community and regional development. As well as you're looking at workforce and education development. And so those are the buckets that we play in the community, and they're all key segments that impact our business community existing, and it's our role to make sure we have a strong business community that's here, so when we are attracting new companies in, they see that the new companies see the value of our existing business and the success that they're having.
Those are some big buckets.
Yeah.
There's always work to do.
And we got a great team. A great team.
Well, it's from our experience, a lot of our interactions, we've always been welcomed with a lot of support as we come into Atlanta for our Birmingham for different reasons. Okay, so let's talk about, you've had a number of wins in recent years here. So talk about some of the latest wins here in this region, especially from an end-to-end supply chain perspective.
Yeah, that's great. We've got our 2018 numbers and our growth report coming out soon. But you start looking at even in 2017, and it's continued to build. In 2017, we had over 3,000 announced new jobs and a little over $500 million in capital investment, and we trended even higher in 2018. Some of the most recent wins we've looked at was the Amazon Distribution Order Fulfillment Center. Mercedes with their expansion of their distribution and logistics center out there. We've had AutoCar, which is another major truck manufacturer that located here. It was another big win. Z Modular, which is a modular connection and building company. They build in modules and then take it out to the job site and construct the building. So those are a few that we've had that have landed here. And then we've had a great deal of expansion here as well. And when you look at our numbers and expansion opportunities, in 2018, we had over 1,700 announced jobs and over $190 million capital investment from our existing business base. And when you look at the existing business base, typically 75% to 80% of your jobs and capital investment that are announced are done by your existing base. Typically, on average, about 11% is what is recruited into a market for a new business. And then around 9% on average is what comes in as you grow organically with your entrepreneurship and smaller companies, minority-owned businesses, and technology transfer, and then a lot of the innovation and technology and entrepreneurship. And you have to do all three. And the goal is to really have them interwoven to add value. So you look at that 9% of the new companies, that's companies of the future. And how do we're tasked with harnessing that and integrating those companies into our existing business. to help them continue to further compete and drive their initiatives to be, you know, on a global scale. And then the new market, the new companies that are coming in are also coming in for the same reasons, to be closer to customers, time to market, you know, the assets that are here, and add additional value of growing our ecosystem of businesses.
A lot of the reasons that Jordan laid out there for why they chose the greater Birmingham area to expand into. And Brick, I know you can't win them all. You had a question about some of the other projects.
Yes, I think it's impressive, the numbers that you just gave us here about the growth here in our city. What are some lessons learned for BBA in terms of the companies that may perhaps have gotten away? Mm-hmm. And how are you applying what you learned towards the next prospects that are looking to land here in our city?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that every time we have an opportunity to recruit a new company in, and the ones that may get away, there are different decisions that are made based on that. And if anything, it's helped us really have after action reports with our team. And when we work projects, large scale projects, we work as a team with the Alabama Department of Commerce. You've got AIDT at the table. We've got our regional team that's there with us. There's our local economic developers that are in tied with it. So we put our best foot forward when we're making the pitch and recruiting team member, you know, a new company here. But when we look at the after action, we kind of look at, okay, the best we can. A lot of times consultants, they may give us feedback, may not. Companies may give us feedback, may not. But when we look and see where the project may have gone and then kind of comparing what happens, sometimes it boils down to nothing more than incentives. Sometimes it may always look at, you know, as we're seeing more and more of this, is time to production. So the time it takes to prepare a site is critical. So having sites that are ready and developed, so, you know, when they pull the trigger and fast track this project, they can be up and running in a shorter time period than, say, having to go do a site prep and development. And the cost of site prep and site development, it can be very expensive. And one thing that we are challenged here with in our Birmingham market is our topography. So there's a lot of pretty large, there's several large tracts of land, but the cut fill and the cost of doing that is pretty substantial. And so what we're doing to combat that, or to really help put our best foot forward, is looking at a team with Alabama Power, the Spire, our team, the Economic Development Partnership of Alabama, EDPA, and really looking at the sites that are available and potential sites, and what is the best use for those sites, and how can we prepare them in order to attract other companies to those locations. And so we work with our economic development allies and the counties around us, and understanding what their market is, you know, who's there, and then what property is available. And, you know, the city of Birmingham has brought on a new tech park out by Barber Motorsports. They're expanding opportunities over in Daniel Payne Industrial Park. So, you know, and then you've got St. Clair County. They've got a new park out there that they have developed. So you start looking at different areas and needs based on what we're seeing from our RFPs and RFIs that come in. But then also when you transition and look at available sites for expanding companies. And so if a company is right now in a 100,000 square foot building and they need to go to a 250,000 square foot building or a 350,000 square foot building, understanding where those buildings are or where the land is to build that, you know, so having capacity of for them to grow, but also having capacity for new companies to come in.
So you never stop. There's always opportunity, right?
That's right.
As good as the system is, there's always opportunity. And, you know, one of my takeaways from today and also kind of hearing what you just shared there, is all the partnering y'all do with all the different resources across the market. Obviously, the Alabama Technology Center and the Alabama Productivity Center and all the folks that come to the table to help either companies establish operations here or grow what's here. Mm-hmm. So it's really important, the whole enchilada, because, you know, you don't want to turn your back on the folks here.
That's right.
Because there are a ton of projects. I mean, we all got infatuated with the Amazon deal over the last couple of years. And and kudos to their marketing team, because that was as if they needed any more visibility. But that kept the market really just, you know, tripping over itself to get information and make bigger bids and all this stuff. But, you know, clearly you are focusing on also the companies that are here and helping them continue to grow and be successful.
That's correct. You know, it's our toolbox, you know, and the Productivity Center and ATN, or they're all part of that. The Alabama Industrial Development Training, AIDT, is part of that. You know, workforce is the largest opportunity that our existing employers see right now at this point. But so it's our toolbox. And when we go out and meet with companies, we get out and meet about 100 to 120 companies annually to understand trends they see in the market, opportunities not only locally, statewide, but nationally, internationally. And then what resources do we have to help them be successful in our toolbox, you know? And a lot of times they may be looking to lean up with a lot of the supply chain and Lean Six Sigma, things like that. And LaBeta and her team at ATN do a phenomenal job. The Alabama Productivity Center, you know, comes in and looks at these kind of things is great. So we try to make sure we're matching the subject matter experts that are here that can help companies meet and convene and drive the productivity for our companies.
Do you have a question, Greg?
I do. So I can think of, having just driven here from Atlanta today, I can think of at least one reason why companies come to Birmingham, and that's traffic or lack thereof. And Jordan mentioned the weather and a couple of other factors. But what is it that you see that gets companies in Birmingham, and what are they enunciating to you that keeps them here once they're here?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think overall is our business climate, the cost of living, and the cost of doing business here, the quality of place and quality of life. Those are key things in not only getting business here, but to attract a talent and retain talent here. You look at the ease of our interstate access, and that's huge, you know, and we've got...
Yeah, I did look at that.
Yeah. And so we're continuing to make improvements, you know, but when you've got the six interstate spoke hubs we have here, and when you start looking at I-65, I-59, I-459, I-20, I-22, and the connectivity to all our Class 1 rails right here, mm-hmm. our inland waterway port that connects into Port of Mobile, you know, how are we utilizing all these assets? And companies look at that, and a lot of that is all in time to market. So when you look at our freight drive times, you know, you can reach 38% of the U.S. market in one day's drive. In a two-day drive, you're hitting 78% of the U.S. market out of Birmingham. Mm. And a lot of times what logistics companies are looking at is strictly getting product on the road in a very timely and efficient manner. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, stem cost is a lot of time. So that stem time of getting into an interstate, getting, you know, product, the time that trucks are picking up deliveries that sit in traffic and sit, and they may miss a delivery window that's going outbound. You know, so that traffic and logistics, we do a lot of time studies and have people look at that for us as far as, you know, our congestion, our average commute times, and because companies ask that when they're looking to come here. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is the logistics of how close am I to the interstate, how long will it take me to get to the interstate.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing. But I think that, you know, just the attractiveness of our community with the arts, the entertainment, you know, quality of place again, and just the ease of access in the market, companies and the ease of doing business.
Yeah, I agree. I can definitely echo Greg's sentiment. We drove in yesterday, and it's such an easy drive. And, mm-hmm. and you know, even we came in close to the 5 o'clock hour, and you couldn't really tell. And maybe I got lucky. Maybe I was the lucky one of the bunch. But it's always been an easy drive to get into Birmingham. And of course, you want that same ease of access to you want supply chains to feel that too.
Yes.
Getting in and out and being able to serve their customers in this hour, in this day and age. in hours rather than days, right?
That's right.
All right, so shifting gears here, we'll kind of want to close in on as we wrap up this segment, Mark, is talk more broader, you know, moving outside of Birmingham and looking at the greater supply chain industry. What are a couple trends or challenges that that's on your radar more than others right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that when you start looking at supply chain in our region and around the world, it's in constant change. And technology is disrupting a lot of that. And so helping companies understand the technology that's there and then how to have complete visibility of their supply chain, you know, and you start looking at how they structure it. So finding that baseline of their current capacity and capabilities and how they build that out to put additional redundancy into the supply chain to really mitigate that risk and look at ways they continue to operate, even though they may have a little disruption, but to continue to keep things moving. You start looking at technology is one of them. So emerging technologies, artificial intelligence, data science. So mm-hmm. all the big data that you can track on what's happening in the supply chain, which ties into purchasing, ties into your raw materials coming inbound, your outbound, your reverse logistics, really, you know, and you start looking at all that. That's huge. And then managing the indirect cost within a supply chain, and it goes back into making sure that all your systems internally are aligned. Mm. But we're also seeing another trend of just a stronger focus on visibility within the in the supply chain. So not only with just your tier one supplier, so no matter what industry you're in, and not looking at who's providing things to you, but look at who's providing things to them and the impact it has on them, and look at that whole the deeper dive
upstream, going to that downstream. Next level.
That's right, upstream, downstream, to have that visibility. And a lot of our newer technologies are allowing us to be able to do that now. And I guess that's the three, really. Emerging technologies, stronger focus on supply chain visibility, and then managing indirect costs within the supply chain.
Yeah, visibility is all the rage, right? Yeah. Whether you're ordering a pizza and you want to know exactly where that pizza is, or product, raw materials, you name it. It's really been interesting to see technologies in different ways that we're answering that call. So we've been talking with Mark Brown, Vice President for Business Retention and Expansion at the Birmingham Business Alliance. Hey, Mark, if folks want to learn more or get in touch with you, where would you direct them to?
Sure. Our website would be www.birminghambusinessalliance.com.
Okay. Easy enough. Straightforward.
That's right.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks for your time. Well,
thank you.
Really appreciate it. Mark Brown with the Birmingham Business Alliance. And again, their website is straightforward. BirminghamBusinessAlliance.com. Love it. All right. So moving right along, our final featured guest today here on Supply Chain Now Radio, broadcasting live from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, is Doug Duvall, Regional Sales Manager at Hydra Power Systems. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
Hi, Scott.
Glad to have you here again. So before we dive into your organization and what y'all do, tell us more about yourself and how you've gotten to this point.
Well, I tried to say earlier that I was not going to say I was from Oregon, but I grew up in Oregon, and I've been in Alabama now for close to 19 years. So.
Oh, you get the resident badge at that point, right?
Yeah, I think I've dropped the damn part and not just a Yankee. I've stayed long enough that they haven't kicked me out, so that's good. My family loves it here, and
fantastic.
Like you said, I work for Hydra Power Systems. I moved down here 19 years ago with the company. We're based in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, fantastic. And so let's talk about what Hydra Power Systems does. What do you do, and what's your role within the organization too?
Hydra Power is a manufacturer of hydraulic components and a distributor of hydraulic components. And most of our manufacturing is done in Portland, Oregon. We're a distribution facility down here, and those are our two locations. We have about 120 employees, I would guess, somewhere in that area. And I think we have 12, 13 employees down here in Alabama.
And from the Alabama operation, you're serving most of east of the Mississippi from down here. Is that right?
Our main product line is a company called Sun Hydraulics. And so we try to get everything we do to mirror what they do. And kind of backing up what Mark said, we had 90 days to set up a location here. And we chose Birmingham because it's one day to Nashville, to Memphis, to Atlanta, to New Orleans, to the Gulf Coast. So as far as the Southeast goes, it's a great location as far as distribution goes.
So going more broadly, you know, when we think about just the same question we've asked Jordan and Mark to weigh in on, we're keeping our finger on the pulse of different trends or challenges out across the end-to-end supply chain. What's been some of the things that's been on your radar more than others here lately?
Well, I'd say one thing that is leading the industry right now as far as trends is lead times. Mm. So all the growth that Mark is seeing and Jordan are seeing trickles down to us is how do we keep supplying parts? Mm. And I think, you know, dating back to 2007 when the economy went south, not in the U.S., but just south in general.
Sure. That's right.
We saw a trend of manufacturers stocking less, doing more build to order, distributors like ourselves stocking less. And so once things ramped up 2 years ago, we've seen lead times just go astronomically long. We've had one customer that was four weeks lead time guaranteed for the last 25 years. They're now at 22 weeks. And, that translates into the next issue of we have to stock more. So sales numbers are up, inventory's up, margins are down. You know, it's
one out of three ain't bad.
Yeah. most of the people in our upper management would say the one that's down is the most key one, though.
Well, it seems like it's always neat on Supply Chain Now Radio when we can bring in a company and one of their suppliers. It seems like y'all have established a great partnership between Hydro Power Systems and Lord North America. How long have y'all been working together?
We have working together for 2 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So actually, I was using Hydroforce Vives, and then Doug sold me the Sun Hydraulics product. And it was pretty good, but like you said, the problem is that when you start to ramp up, then you have to take care of your inventory and make sure that you cover.
That's where the partnership comes in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Love
and,
it.
And a lot of times large companies like Jordan may be able to buy direct from the manufacturer, but they're building to order. And so we're that buffer, so to speak, between running out of parts and
Running out of cash in the bank, right? Well, it's really neat. And so we were talking a bit in the warm-up. We all kind of have different perspectives of why it's neat to do business here in the greater Birmingham area. And, Doug, what you know, when you think about working here, especially now that you've been here for 19 years, what are some of the advantages for organizations from your perspective to do business and expand here?
I think Jordan and Mark hit on a lot of it, but I also think the right-to-work state, the fact that you don't see that many unions in the manufacturing industry. I think there are a few around or a few individual companies that have voted in the unions, and I think that translates into good wages for the employee without having the burden of a union to pay their dues. And so I think it's a good trade-off. The manufacturing companies, I think, it is appealing to them. So they have maybe a sense of more being able to run their own company rather than the unions running their company.
Fantastic. Did you have another question, Greg?
Yeah, I was just interested in, you talked about your role as a distributor, and it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about the possibility that distributors go completely away. But exactly the risk that you're averting for Jordan is the position of the distributor in the marketplace, right? The ability for you to hold inventory that they would otherwise have on their capital.
Correct. Yeah. Right? And when Jordan said that, I kind of cringed a little bit, but he used the word partnership, and that's really what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're providing them a service, and I think we try to do a good job and meet what their needs are. You know, they give us a good idea of what their market's doing, and we try to match it.
Yeah, and I think the important gap that you close is manufacturers ship in large quantities, and most customers, they buy or use in relatively small quantities, mm-hmm. right? So you create that buffer for both organizations.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and most of the manufacturers are keeping lower inventories.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just one of those things where you got to have that other redundancy that is built in. They're carrying so much, and if they can't get a direct manufacturer, distributors have a key role in that, like you've stated. So
it's options. It's not lost on many people that the hangover from the Great Recession has been longer than it has been in the past. Yeah. I think a lot of people are still accommodating for the risk that presented at that time.
Even with the last 2 years of real growth, I think there's still that fear of, do we want to add an extra 20 employees? Right. We really need them. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I think people are still apprehensive. But it's getting, like Mark was saying, there's money being spent on growth, and Jordan's adding jobs. And so it's been slow to move the needle, I think, but it is moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll be the cheesy one in the group. I think partnership is really important, and just y'all sitting there on the same side of the table. What strikes me is I can just see some of the conversations behind the conversations to make things happen, right? As needs change and as business conditions change. I mean, I love the ease of the Amazon e-commerce era, you know, and being able to click a button and get what I need. But all problems aren't that easy, especially in the manufacturing space. So being able to come together and you know, scale up, scale down, serve as that buffer, but more importantly, be that partner to work through, you know, a company like Lower North America that's taking on industry and going after market share and whatever curveballs and whatever's right around the corner. I think that's so important. One of our earlier guests stated that, and of course, not taking anything away from all the technology that's in the space, all the automation and drones, all that good stuff, but we had a guest say that until you can teach empathy to a drone, there's always going to be a seat at the table for good folks to get together and solve problems and lead and make decisions. And that struck a chord with me. And I can kind of sense that from our conversation here between the two of y'all. Doug, how can folks get in touch with you and learn more about Hydra Power Systems?
Well, you can look on our website. It's www.hpsx.com, like hydropowersystemsxray.com.
Love it.
That's the easiest way.
So we're talking with, we're wrapping up here with Doug Duvall, Regional Sales Manager at Hydra Power Systems. And you can learn more about Doug's company at www.hpsx.com. Thanks so much, Doug. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. What a lot of red meat there throughout all three segments that we could easily dive into and add a couple hours. It comes on the heels of a great first show, Verica, with this morning. We're talking about a lot of complementary issues. A lot of good stuff going on here in Birmingham.
I agree, and we're just so thankful that you saw fit to come here and talk to us about the things that we're doing, and hopefully a lot of what we've said have resonated with the listeners on your show and the people that are thinking about Birmingham as being a home. We hope that we provided some, you know, knowledge and some good nuggets for you to, you know, marinate on and perhaps come see us to talk about, you know, what we could do for your business.
Absolutely. We'll be back soon, and like we talked about in the morning show and then at lunch, we're going to talk more about potentially bringing Supply Chain 101 to Alabama. And for y'all weren't part of the earlier conversation, but we've been taking teams of volunteers in the elementary schools and specifically with 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders and talking supply chain and planting seeds of awareness. It is I'm not sure if it's more rewarding for the students or the volunteers. Greg, you've been a part of some of the teams going into schools in Georgia. And it's just a fascinating program that we've been doing now for about a year and a half. I think 13 different schools, about 42 sessions from Tybee Island to Marietta, from Noonan County over to Douglasville.
When did we do Tybee Island? I don't think I got that in. Yeah.
That was a great one. They actually have a school down there, as you probably, well, I guess it's pretty intuitive. They got a school that's really geared towards seagoing, what's the right word?
Maritime?
Maritime. Yes, elementary school. It's actually a I think it's an all-inclusive, all-grade school, and it really focuses on education and perspective from a maritime perspective. So really fascinating. But yeah, we get the invite next time on that. Our friends down at Apex Savannah helped us driving that.
I'll remember that.
You bet. And Barika, we'll figure out a way to collaborate and reach out and connect with students here as well. Okay, so we're going to wrap up on some upcoming events. As we mentioned this morning, Supply Chain Radio is a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit coming to Atlanta June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers from Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, of course, UPS, many more. We're going to be broadcasting live there thanks to Becker Logistics. You can check them out at beckerlogistics.com. If you're interested in the event, you can send us a note, scott@supplychainnowradio.com, or you can check out the EFT site. And that's as simple as the BBA site. It's EFT.com. You can't get more simple than that. We mentioned, but we want to give a little more information on the Women in Trucking Accelerate Conference, which, Barika, you're speaking at. You're leading a breakout session. Put that accurately. I know you're adamant about that. That's going to be in Dallas, and that's going to be September 30th through October 2nd, right?
That's correct. This is, I think, the 7th annual conference for Women in Trucking. It's a great organization for those of you who are in industry or not, just, you know, looking to see some of the great things that women have been doing for the logistics industry. But super excited about being able to share my mentoring story, my mentoring journey, and I'm really looking forward to connecting with the other attendees there.
Love it. And you can learn more about that conference. Again, it's in Dallas. A lot of great stuff happened in Dallas, Dallas and Birmingham and Atlanta. A lot of good stuff happened in those markets. You can learn more at womenintrucking.org/accelerate-conference, and you can meet Barika McNeil Hamilton there September 30th through October 2nd. Tune into our – well, before I make that, Barika, you mentioned all the great things that women are doing in supply chain, really across industry. And we are acting on that observation. So in 2 weeks from tomorrow, what would that be? That would be the 20 – no, on May 23rd, actually next week, we're kicking off a new series here on Supply Chain Now Radio. It's going to be 4 p.m. every Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And we're going to be putting a spotlight on women in leadership positions across industry. We're calling it Full Access. Online.com, and we've got our first speaker, first interviewee is going to be Peggy Gulick, who is leading some serious innovation in manufacturing over at AGCO, where they make a lot of great tractors throughout the country and the world, for that matter. And she's been leading a lot of the technological innovations from Google Glass and some of the other things that are doing in these factories to not give lip service to technology, you know, because we all know all the cliches out there, all the acronyms. But ATCO's doing it, and she's going to give some of the best practices from their experiences, from, you know, so the successes and the failures. So tune into that. You can learn more at fullaccessonline.com, which is a landing page on our mother site. Next show, Friday, just a couple days from now, where we're going to be broadcasting live from Savannah, APIC Savannah, including a session with the president of the local APIC chapter there, Jeff Leroy. And if you want to find out the details on that, we've got a big red button up at supplychainnowradio.com with additional details, and you can tune in live. All right, big thanks to our guests today. We've had two great shows. On this afternoon show, you heard from Jordan Giraud, Supply Chain Manager at Lohr North America. Thanks again, Jordan.
Thank you very much, Scott. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Congratulations on continued success. We'll have you back on maybe 6 months from now. Kind of we'll see how the path, how it went.
Sure.
Mark Brown, Vice President of Business Retention and Expansion at the Birmingham Business Alliance. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. Absolutely. Enjoyed it. You bet. Doug Duvall, Regional Sales Manager at Hydra Power Systems. Thanks for carving some time out, Doug.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And, of course, our great co-host, Barika McNeil Hamilton, who is a productivity engineer with the Alabama Productivity Center. And Greg White, supply chain technology entrepreneur, who has been active and has been leading all kinds of big things in the industry.
We're both glad to be here.
Well, great conversation. Big thanks to our audience for tuning in today. Check out our upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe. so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.